This is your Day X World War III update. Now, before I get into the comprehensive breakdown of all things SHTF that I assure you, you are not going to get anywhere else, I must advise you that the world is about to become incredibly chaotic in the coming days ahead. What's about to happen in the Middle East is going to send shockwaves throughout the global economy, and it is going to be a black hole that slowly and perniciously consumes the entire planet. Everybody is going to get sucked into this war. And they're about to start it. They're saying it on mainstream news. But you know what people are getting in a panic over? Some toilet paper frenzy induced by a longshoreman strike that's already been resolved. I told you it was going to be resolved yesterday. I'm like, it's probably not a big deal. Sure enough, they get a 62% raise, which should tell you a little bit about the true inflation that is happening. And regardless, toilet paper grows on trees that come from the boreal forest here in Canada. All right. So everybody wipes their ass with the Canadian boreal forest. So why people are getting in a tizzy over all of this is just ridiculous. You know what people should be preparing for? World War III. Okay. And this is just a sign of the absurdity of our society that we obsess about these stupid things without even thinking, just because somebody next to these are the, look at what's going on in the southeastern part of the United States right now. Do you seriously think for a second that the federal government is going to have the means to deal with a national emergency when these guys can't even rest? Look, this is the biggest army in the world, the United States military. They can't send 100 helicopters there like that and fix it? You got to be kidding me, man. Something is seriously wrong. So if you think that the government's going to save you when this shit goes down, you're in for a rude awakening. Now, here's what's going on. There's a solar flare inbound, X9 solar flare, forward facing, the biggest one that the world has ever seen, or not the world has ever seen, but this solar cycle, okay? And that's that. I'm not even going to talk about that. That's redundant. If we get a Carrington event, honestly, that might be the best thing that happens for humanity at this point in time, because that might interdict this descent into total chaos that's unfolding right now in the Middle East. But would likely happen if there was a Carrington event due to this X9 flare that is about to hit us, is some opportunistic nation state would try to capitalize on that and invade some other country when everything went dark. But we'll see. I don't think anything's going to happen with that. I just had to put it out there because it's the news. It's part of the news cycle. So what we need to talk about, though, is what happened in Lebanon last night and how it's all going to factor into the big war that's about to start any hour now with Iran. Okay. So what happened was the Israelis, for some reason, remember, there were rumors that Vladimir Putin did not pick up the phone for Benjamin Netanyahu on the day right before those missiles were inbound to Israel, signifying that there is growing tension and animosity between Israel and Russia. Now, both of these countries have to walk a very fine line because there are, what is it, like 2 million Russian speakers or people who have dual citizenship in Russia, in Israel. It might not be exactly that much for the dual citizenship, but definitely over a million, okay? So this is why they have to be so trepidatious about how they approach this issue in the, of animosity between the two countries. But something pivotal happened last night. Essentially, you had an Iranian IRGC commander get murked at a Russian airbase that was bombed by the Israelis. Okay, here's the details of that event. Israel bombed Russia's Hamim airbase an hour after the arrival of an Iranian plane belonging to Keshem Airlines, which I presume had some kind of weapons inside it. Now, people are saying they didn't bomb the towers, they didn't bomb the runways, and for whatever reason, the Russians never reacted. There was no air defense or nothing like that. Now, this is Syria, so they're probably quite restrained in terms of their use of that stuff because they know if they shoot down an Israeli F-35, then it's on, right? And I'm sure that's happened before, and maybe they just kept it under wraps because of the aforementioned issue with so many Russian people being inside Israel. But what happened immediately after this is that the Russian ambassador inside Israel, I can't remember his name, Anatoly something or other, he advised any Russian Israeli, which is over a million people, that they should leave the country because a war is about to break out. This is exactly what he said. I'll get back to the details of the actual attack that happened. We are advising those who are currently in Israel to think about leaving while there are still regular flights, implying that a massive war is about to break out in that country when Iran starts firing back with their unconventional weaponry, as they said they will today. Yes, unconventional. We'll get to that in a moment. Including Israeli national carrier El Al from the country. That's the Israel national carrier. That's the air carrier who is going to be able to, I guess, get those people into Russia. People from Lebanon are already filing into Russia in droves. So the word has also been, and it seems like it's a bit more urgent for them to get out of Lebanon. Obviously, everybody's evacuating from Lebanon, which means that that war is about to heat up. And Beirut very well could look like Gaza soon, the way things are going. So this is a very serious warning. It's clear what's about to go down. It's all spelled out. You cannot say you haven't been forewarned. Oil went up 5% today. That's a big move, folks. 5%. In fact, in the last week or so, I think it's went up like 10%. Mind you, it was at its lows, so it was destined to go back up. In light of all this, the plunge protection could no longer keep plunging. It's just the thing is overflowing at this point. The Israeli strike did not target the runways and towers at the base. However, it did hit a warehouse inside the base. So again, we are going to see now a growing tension between the Russians and the Israelis as Russia is forced to take a side. This is why they're calling their people home. They're saying, it's time to take a side. Which side are you going to be on? The West or the East? And right now, Iran is being used by Russia, I think, because the Russians benefit from a war with Iran for multiple reasons. For starters, it takes the attention off of them. It also is going to increase the price of oil, which is going to increase Russia's oil revenues, because one of the primary targets, not the first target, but one of the primary targets is going to be Iran's oil infrastructure. And every greedy person in the region is going to benefit from that. And just remember what the highly venerated Zhirinovsky predicted back in 2019. I encourage you to go watch the Russian pundit Zhirinovsky's prediction of Iran after this video, because we got a lot of stuff, important stuff to talk about. He made a prediction that in 2024, the horrors that would unfold in Iran will overshadow that which has currently taken place in Ukraine. I don't know if I agree about that last part, but he was bang on in his predictions about everything else, including the beginning of the Russian conflict, down to the day, in fact. And he predicts that there will be no elections, well, that there were no elections for the Ukrainians in 2024, which there wasn't because Zelensky declared martial law, and that also the focus will now shift to Iran, and that there is going to be millions of refugees flooding into Europe. So for all of those people cheering for this Israeli experiment, okay, which is creating chaos throughout the region, Israel is a proxy of the United States. Okay, they're a vassal of the United States. They're a state. They're not even a proxy. They're just simply a state. Okay, and because Israel or the United States provides all of the military support, all of the technology. Yes, you know, many Israelis, in fact, are co-creators of that technology. But in terms of the sheer volume, a country of 9 million could never bring this amount of equipment to bear themselves. And this is why, for the last year, there have been boatloads, plane loads, every single day of weaponry. All the weaponry they're using now, it all came from the Uncle Sam. So we are in there intervening in the Middle East, kicking a hornet's nest. No offense to people in the Middle East. I'm not saying you're hornets. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a very sensitive region, sectarian region, that it's a very tribalistic region as well. So it's not hard to go and, you know, create chaos. And that's what we're doing. And so we're going to get millions of immigrants. So don't complain, Europe, when millions of immigrants flood in again. All right. Now, this is how it's going to go down. First, they're going to try and take out their air defense because, of course, it's presumed that the Russians have bestowed upon the Iranians some technology that's going to help them out in this fight. Okay, maybe it's missile defense, maybe it's offensive capabilities, maybe it's certain radars, electronic warfare, GPS blocking technology. They likely gave them something that they're going to use to stave off an attack. Now, the fact is, we're not going to know how good the attack was. If they conduct an attack, we're just going to have to take their word for it. I'm going to get into the satellite imagery of the Nevatim airbase later on in this video because there's a lot of bullshit coming out of Planet Labs, which is a subsidiary of Google and Vanguard and BlackRock. They're the satellite company that is taking these pictures, alleging to show these military bases that are supposedly top secret in matters of national security, right? Anyways, so this is how it's going to go down. First, they're going to go for the missile defense, the radars. Then they're going to try and target the missile sites from which these missiles are launched. They have probably dozens of these sites, but they're pinpointing three. And this is from the official IDF spokesperson. I didn't pull this out of my ass. They're telling people on mainstream media what they're going to do. And these dullards are completely oblivious. They're going and buying toilet paper because, you know, they think that the toilet paper comes from Europe. Okay, so that's the situation we're in. And then you have the government who can't even get people out of trees. You got 500 bodies, allegedly, according to somebody who has good contacts on the ground. There's hundreds of people that have died in this recent hurricane, and the government is doing diddly squat because of just all the bureaucratic red tape. I'm not saying they're not doing anything. I'm just saying that it's highly inefficient how it's playing out. This situation should have been dealt with in a few days. Okay? They're too busy trying to start World War III. Oil infrastructure. 14 major oil refineries. Boom. Gone. See what that does to the price of oil. Now, this is where China has to step in. China cannot let this slide. They have to do something because this is where they're getting their oil. Now, this is probably why China is so aggressively going green, because they can see the writing on the wall. This is a place, who knows how many solar panels they actually have, but a significant portion of their grid is now going electric. So their reliance on oil is diminishing, but it's still very high. There's certain things you absolutely need oil for, especially industry. So if the price of oil goes up, that's going to be reflected in the cost of goods and services. It is going to be insanely inflationary. We are talking about prices going up 20, 30, 40, 50%, 100%. If you see the price of oil double, you are going to see prices effectively double on top of all the supply chain disruptions that you're going to see from all these geopolitical issues. So, nuclear sites. That's definitely on the hit list. There are 15 nuclear sites. They are even floating the idea. Okay, I watched this colorful interview with, what's her face, the strange girl on CNN, the one that was weirding out Zelensky when he did that interview with her, when she was nerding out on him. She was interviewing the IDF spokesperson. I can't remember what his name, I can't remember what anybody's goddamn name is. They all sound the same to me, all right? They're all just liars. So she's basically asking him what's going to happen, and he's telling her the plan. Yeah, there's no uproar in the streets. There's no protests. People are too busy stocking toilet paper. Nuclear sites, oil infrastructure, 14 oil refineries, 15 nuclear sites. The Ministry of Defense in Tehran. They're going to strike Tehran. The Ayatollah is giving a speech tomorrow in front of thousands of people, apparently. This is the dumbest possible thing you could do right now. And it's the orthodoxy of the Shiite Muslim religion, which may be their undoing. I understand that people have their religious traditions, but when you're in a state of war, you know, and every time you have one of these funerals or these ceremonies, you get targeted there, and it forces more people to have to reconvene because they got to re-elect somebody to go back into the position, and then they get targeted there, and it's just this chain reaction of decapitation that is ongoing, that continues, in fact, tonight, where the guy who who allegedly has now taken the reins from Nasrallah, has probably been assassinated in Lebanon already, because they decided to meet in the center of Beirut, once again in some underground bunker. Stupid, all right? Man, this is, you know, but it's not just that. It's that they're highly permeated by spies and moles and all kinds of people who are on the take. It doesn't cost, think about it. If you can pay a Lebanese random to narc out these guys for $1 million, instead of dropping $10 million worth of bombs, you only need to spend $1 million for bombs, and you give the other guy maybe $1 million, give him two. Why not? You're still saving $7 million, right? How many people are going to rat him out? There's going to be a lot of people who take that bait. And I think that's the game. I think it's just a matter of money for the most part. I'm sure the Mossad is in there, deeply embedded within the Lebanese population. I'm sure, for all we know, you know, there's double agents. There's people in Iran who are relaying information in the higher-ups, in the administrative level, who are giving these coordinates and telling everything that's going on. But that's what's going down. And the IDF spokesperson said this could happen in days. And all you hear is crickets. Crickets. Nothing. Because unlike the Russian conflict, even though this is the one that everybody starts talking about, biblical Armageddon, and I agree, I made that reference to the celestial nature of, you know, stars falling down on Israel in the book of Revelations. I talked about that the other day, but really, the thing that it grabs people's attention is the risk of nuclear confrontation. Now, it's only if we presume that Iran has nuclear weapons that that's remotely true, or if the Russians are going to come to Iran's back. And there's an important data point to acknowledge here, is that the Russian defense pact with Iran has not formally gone into effect just yet, which is interesting. They're saying that this thing is going to be put into place by the end of October, but is that going to be too late? Because this is going to obligate the Russians in some capacity to come to the assistance of the Iranians, who, of course, are providing the Russians with weapon systems. But if the war in Ukraine dies down, which it won't, then the Russians are probably thinking to themselves, well, maybe we don't need all these Shahed drones and all these rockets. And, you know, if Iran is going to get blown up anyways, then maybe they're not that reliable. So what do we really need them for? We like the price of oil high. So the question is there a double cross? Is there some Machiavellian play? And I would not put it past Putin to be doing that very thing right now. And it may be that the Iranians are getting strung along. You will notice that in that rocket attack, not rocket, what would you call them, like the missile attack, the ballistic missile attack, you will notice, and this is evident to me, and the fact that nobody was talking about this is even more significant, I think, that there was very little explosive power of those missiles, signifying that, and we know that there was 32 hits on the airbase, as confirmed by this Planet Labs satellite company. So we know that there were hits, but we didn't see this massive explosive yield that we've become accustomed to seeing in places like Lebanon. It's supposed to light up the night sky. And there's no reason why the Iranians don't have the capability to put the black powder, ammonium nitrate, explosive material, whatever it is, into these missiles in copious amounts, in the 2,000 pound and above range. Okay, there's no reason why they couldn't have did that. So it makes you wonder, you know, why didn't they do that? Were they tricked into doing this in the same way Nasrallah was tricked into a ceasefire deal? Many people probably don't know this, but it's now been officially acknowledged that Nasrallah, not by the Israelis, of course, but this is what the word on the street is, he was tricked into having a ceasefire deal, a 21-day ceasefire deal with the Israelis, and then they murked him. Okay? So if the Iranians know that, and they still did this hollow attack, literal hollow, you know, ballistic missiles with no explosive power inside them, just so that they could have the flare and so that it could be this optical victory for their people to prevent a upheaval, an insurrection. You know, they had to know that they would be double-crossed. And now they're about to be. Because now Israel has everything it needs. You have all of these pundits saying this is our golden opportunity. our golden opportunity to make a war with Iran. We got to seize upon it because we might not get this opportunity again. It was really hard for us to provoke them this much, and we did. And, you know, with all those assassinations of their generals and their embassies and inside the country on the day of the funeral, what makes you think that there's not going to be operatives that try that shit tomorrow? So this is what they're going to do. They're going to go after the missile defense. Then they're going to take out the missile sites, or they're going to try to. Then they're going to take out the nuclear sites. And while all of this is happening, mind you, this is going to accelerate Iran's attempts to get a nuclear weapon if they don't have them already. And I'm going to talk about what they said about their unconventional capabilities and what that might mean in just a moment. Oil infrastructure, 14 refineries, government buildings in Tehran, all of their nuclear sites, destroying this fissible material that they claim has enough fissile material for 15 nuclear weapons, and that this could all happen in days. When that happens, the price of oil, because the Iranians have said that they're going to respond unconventionally. Get a load of this. Unconventional, typically, in strategic terms, means nuclear. It could also mean chemical, biological, which I doubt. It could mean, you typically wouldn't refer to that, you wouldn't use that term if you're talking about asymmetry. So you wouldn't use that term if you were referring to attacks on like offshore oil rigs or gas rigs or maybe oil infrastructure in the region, even though they said that right when you guys hit us, we don't care what the Gulf states claim, that they're not going to be party to this conflict. They're claiming that they're not going to let their airspace utilize. But Iran has to presume at this point, they have to assume that everybody's against them in the region, because they probably are. I think the Saudis are playing them like a flute as well. So despite all of this, you know, surface level diplomacy that appears to be happening, the president of Iran, in fact, met with the Saudi foreign minister, not the king or the House of Saud, any representative from there, but they met with the foreign minister. And I don't know how close that minister is to the family. I'm sure there is some familial ties there. But nonetheless, this is all surface level. The Iranians have said that they're going to respond and they're going to hit all of the oil infrastructure throughout the region. And they're probably going to start with the American military bases as well. And I think that's what Israel's hoping for. I think they're hoping that they're going to go for the U.S. military bases. So maybe they'll be smart and bypass that and just counterattack inside Israel somewhere. Like they could have. They could have loaded those missiles up with explosive material and taken out that entire airbase, because they had 32 hits. They were evenly spread out. That place would have been done, finished. But they didn't, because I think they thought that if we just do this demonstration, right, and we'll make it look real, we won't issue a notice to airmen, we'll make it look real, we'll get Putin to broker the deal, and, you know, it'll all be done, it'll all be good. Putin will rush through the Kremlin the night before, make it look totally legit, right? Why didn't they put explosive? Who knows? They probably thought that they could have a chance to de-escalate this here, and I'm sure they're trying to negotiate that on the back channels, but Israel's not going to buy it. This is their golden goose, okay? This is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, the president has said that the response is going to be categorical and strong if the Israelis target or attack Iran anywhere. He said that Iran does not seek war, but Israel forced them to retaliate after assassinating the Hamas leader, yada yada. They're warning Washington that any attack will be met with an unconventional response. So what could that conventional response be? Are they talking about an attack on the Dimona nuclear facility? Are they talking about, look, these guys have the technology, the hypersonic technology to hit residencies, okay? They've demonstrated that. They can hit things with pinpoint precision, which is why some of the misses on the Nevatim airbase, I think, were maybe decoys. And because you can see that there was, if you actually look at the satellite footage, which we don't even know is real, it appears as though there were some like dead center hits. And this is not uncommon for Iran. After they responded in 2019 to the Soleimani assassination, every one of those hits on the U.S. military base, dead center. they even earlier this year, they took out a Mossad operative who I think they were in Lebanon somewhere. But they hit like the house. Okay, so we know they have that level of accuracy. Are they just talking about unconventional in that respect? Are they talking about a cyber attack? Are they talking about using a nuclear weapon? Israel's a small place, okay? And it wouldn't take that many nukes. And what they've demonstrated is that they absolutely have the capability to do that. And this is only 200 ballistic missiles. And that is with the help of everybody, with the United States, Jordan, and all these other countries who are launching missiles in defense, okay? And they couldn't stop, you know, but a handful of these missiles. And that's not their best stuff, they claim. So imagine 1,000 missiles, maybe just 4 or 5 of them have nukes. That's it. It's over. One nuke, it's over. So this is why the gambit that they're about to go on, it is going to, guys, you need to understand something. Like this, holy shit. This is going to get out of control. What this means is that Israel has to go for the kill shot. Okay? They have to have no choice. Because if they push Iran into developing a nuclear weapon, and which is going to happen, remember what they've said, Iran has the ability to do it in a couple weeks. So that means from the time that they start attacking, they know that any religious edict that dictates you can't have nuclear weapons, that shit's going in the trash can for at least a few weeks while Iran starts building nukes. And all they need is one, really, one. That's it. Game over. Will they become a pariah of the world if they do it? Absolutely. But if it's about their existence, I mean, what do you expect? Any nation who has a nuclear power, that's their strategic deterrent. So the race right now, as soon as Israel crosses this line and attacks them in all of the ways that they've listed off, clear as day for all the lemmings to see, but nobody pays attention to, once they cross any one of those red lines, that's it. They have no choice but to go all the way for the kill shot. They don't have the troops that they can put on the ground. The only thing that they can do is hope that they can set back this nuclear program and destroy their economy by destroying their oil refineries and their oil infrastructure, which is going to be miserable for the people of Iran. And millions of them are going to flee the country. It's a country of 90 million people. And a lot of them have the means to leave. Not a lot, but, you know, there's a significant amount of them who have the means to get out. I'm not saying everybody's just going to abandon ship, but there's a lot of dissent inside Iran, too. And if they can't do a decapitation strike and seize control with a puppet government, this shit's going to get way out of control, man. You guys need to prepare like you've never prepared before. I haven't even gotten into the news about the Ukrainians targeting the Kursk nuclear power plant yet, and how they're about to strike 261 targets with NATO weapons come the beginning of the month when they get approval from the new NATO chairperson. It's lights out, okay? So we're on the brink. So you need to really get your ass in gear, man. Get fit. Get medication from Jace Medical. They were telling me a couple days ago, they're like, Nate, We're seeing all kinds of disruptions because of this thing that's happening on the East Coast. I didn't really think much of it because, you know, it's already resolved. Nonetheless, there's now a backlog. So get your prescription medication. I'll post a link in the description below. If you want prep gear, we have. I'm trying to help people out right now. I lose money on this, to be brutally honest, because we do free shipping. Use coupon code WW3Survival. WW3Survival, all caps. CanadianPreparedness.com. Get all of the premium quality stuff. If you don't want premium quality stuff, and I understand it's expensive, but I'm not serving people up slop and they're going to resent me after the shit hits the fan. I'm sorry. You can get that from Costco. You can get it from Walmart, you know, anywhere else. I would encourage you to just do what you can right now and just make really prudent financial decisions also and get cash out of the bank. Because what we've seen with Bank of America, I mean, if that's not a harbinger for what's to come, just think about what could really happen if all of your wealth, all of your material wealth is just ones and zeros and the lights go out. What do you have to prove What do you have to prove it with if the servers never come on again? Think about it. Now, allegedly, several officers of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard are believed to have been eliminated by an airstrike tonight on a Hezbollah bunker in southern Beirut. You know, they're always saying suburban, the outskirts of Beirut or the suburbs of Beirut. I just say Beirut is Beirut. I understand they have a different hierarchical structure there in terms of who lives in the city and who lives on the periphery, but it's all Beirut. It's just the media's way of making it appear as though there's going to be less collateral damage because it's in the suburbs and not the densely populated inner city. Anyways, the new Secretary General of Hezbollah, Hashim Safedin, and other senior Hezbollah leaders may have been taken out. May, not confirmed yet, but they put at least, 50 bunker busters in one spot. They were digging deep holes tonight. I actually think that this entire talk about Iranian oil facilities being targeted, I think that's a bit of a ruse. They're going to go for the kill shot, okay? Because understand what this means. You know how Joe Biden and the White House, they've been saying that Israel's just acting autonomously. We don't know what they're doing. And then they tell us later on and then we pretend we're shocked and all this. Well, now that they're involved in these deliberations about how they're going to retaliate, that means that they're going to be culpable in this, whatever happens. So that means they're going to be party to the conflict, which effectively puts them in a state of war with Iran. Okay. And so for that reason, when Israel does go forward with this, and it's all going to happen before the election, which is insane that I made that prediction back in January, that it's going to happen before the election, and here we are on the eve of the election, it's about to happen. And understand what this is also going to mean for all you political people who are, you know, enamored with this political freak show. It's probably going to mean that Kamala is going to get it because, yeah, wartime presidents always get reelected, man. I can't see them putting up too much of a fight, but look at how well timed it is, because you want something like this to be cresting right when people are going to the ballot box. And look at how perfectly they timed it. All those trips that Blinken took there over the summertime to kind of forestall the inevitable, all those, you know, Sullivan, those press conferences, and yeah, we're trying to cease fire and this and that and that. And they just kept kicking the can down the road. And now suddenly, the October surprise, October 1st, game on. We don't have to worry about oil prices and CPI and inflation numbers anymore because we're in the fourth quarter, right? We're not going to hear about it till after the election. So oil can shoot up to $200 this month. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but even if it did, it wouldn't be reflected in the inflation numbers. And because the market's so fickle, you know, it's not going to, you know, the market is dumb. I'm truly believe the market is dumb. Like if people couldn't see this coming like we did and they didn't get in on the oil game early when it was at the lows, I mean, it's still honestly at the lows. I think that's not financial advice, but man, I mean, to see these 5% rises in a day, like what person has that much money? Like how could there be, because we're talking about billions and billions of dollars. How could, you know, there be so much dumb money out there that's just reacting on a day-to-day basis? Like where's the guy saying, yeah, it looks like they're going to go to war with Iran in a few months. You know, I mean, everything kind of points towards that. There's got, you know, nobody. The price of oil should be over $100 right now. If people knew how, you know, what's about to happen, if everything they say is going to happen actually plays out, I mean, oil is going to the moon. To the moon. I talked about the satellite photos. I don't have them here today. I need a break from the screens. You know, honestly, I got like 10 videos, like high production value videos that I want to release, but it's just been such a crazy week and it just, you know, people are wanting information desperately right now. So I'm trying to aggregate as much as I can and give you my honest to God's truth about what's going down. So the company, one thing to understand is there's not a lot of companies that do high resolution satellite imagery. And because this is a matter of national security, I'm sure that all of these companies are obligated or legally obligated, especially if they operate outside the USA. I mean, I'm 100% certain that there's some kind of stipulation that you absolutely can't show what we don't want you to show. Like, we don't want you to show what's going on in Area 51, so, you know, you can't show that. Obviously. Yet, this company called Planet Labs, owned by Google, owned by Alphabet, Vanguard, and BlackRock. Those are the three primary shareholders. And everybody's circulating this satellite imagery of the Nevatim Air Base like it's the gospel, okay? Like it's just absolute fact. Like there's thousands of high-resolution satellite imagery companies out there that are independent and are going to tell us what's going on the ground regardless of any national security issues. No, these companies are embedded within the deep state. Whatever they want us to see from the sky, from space, I mean, China is not going to show us unless China releases, you know, or the Russians. I'm not sure what the resolution capabilities of the Russian satellites are. I think the Chinese are a little bit better. But, you know, we're basically, we don't know, we can't confirm whether that's true. Anyways, people are saying that there's this satellite footage of the Nevatim Air Base at Israel where we've seen all those missiles raining down on. They're saying that it got hit 32 times. Well, they said they cut out a little snippet of it and they said, oh yeah, it got hit 4 times. There's one that hit on the road there. And oh, that one hit a building and a couple more hit the trash can over there and one in the grass, right? And then they blew the image up and they're like, oh yeah, here's the whole base. It actually hit 32 times, right? Now, the thing is though, because that company is owned, they're only going to show you what they want you to see. Right? So if they don't want to show their people catastrophic damage, which they don't, you're prohibited to share that information. It's the exact same playbook as Ukraine is in Israel. What makes you think it's going to be any different here when the shit goes down? Really, what makes you think that they're going to tell us the truth here? They can't even get a few helicopters to get some people out of trees right now in southeastern United States after that Hurricane Helene. You seriously think they're going to tell us the truth, man? Come on. So, obviously, I think that this whole satellite business, the fact that everybody's taking it like the gospel, it is just, it's remarkable. It's remarkable that we are so easily quelled in our curiosity and our criticism. And it's incredible social media control. And I'm telling you right now, this platform X, people think that they're getting the truth on X because, you know, Elon Musk, he's so edgy, right? Listen, man, that's a honeypot, okay? That is textbook. It is a playground for counterintelligence. It is so easy to fuck with people. Think about it. You just get a few astute OSINT accounts, right? Who they're probably close to what's going on, so they get the information first. So they get a lot of followers because they're close to people who work in intelligence. And when you work in intelligence, you know what you're allowed to disavow to the public and what you're not. So you get the news first. So because these people have access to this information, they get people's subscription, right? But I am very, what we know about social psychology and how easily it is to convince people, and I'm not talking about the crazy nutty tinfoil stuff, you know, I'm talking about real pragmatic, you know, things that are going on in the world, like, you know, like these events that are unfolding right now. It's very easy to convince people that a satellite image is an absolute fact, even though everything I just told you about the company and how it's so easy to hide and how there's laws that prevent, you know, from showing, so, but everybody believes it and just runs with it because groupthink, conformity, social pressure, people capitulate because you get 10 people commenting, all these bots or AI bots or whatever they are, paid shills saying that, oh no, this is this. And, you know, and they fight with you and they troll you and they have all these tactics and there's farms of these people. Okay. So we're, you know, just trust your instinct. If something seems off, then it probably is at this point in time. I understand instinct is subjective, but man. Okay. So, on October 12th, during the Ramstein meeting, let's go to Ukraine now. What time are we at here? What time are we at? Holy shit! 40 minutes. Wow. On October 12th, during the Ramstein meeting with Ukraine and NATO, they're going to discuss Ukraine's authorization of long-range strikes on Russian territory. That's the new NATO Secretary General Rutte. Is that how you pronounce his name? He is even more of a hawk than Stoltenberg, I hear. So it is very likely that they're going to start World War III, whether the United States wants to join in or not. And Kiev has a plan to strike 261 military facilities in Russia with long-range missiles from the West. They prepared a list. It includes large weapons depots and permanent deployment points of Russian troops. Apparently, the list has already been handed over to Britain and the United States. That's their peace plan, or their victory plan, I guess it's called. Crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. And they also attempted to attack the Kursk nuclear power plant today. Now, there's a difference of opinion in terms of how far it actually was from the nuclear power plant that this attack took place. Some people say a kilometer, which is significant when you're talking about a small region like Kursk, where the battles are raging right now. Ukrainian armed forces attempted to attack the Kursk nuclear power plant at 4:20 p.m. I'm not sure what time zone that was in. Air defense systems engaged what they're calling a French bomb. So are they talking about like a, what is it, the Scalp missile, possibly? And, you know, where's the call to what's his face, Macron, if that's the case, right? It's hard to say. But that's just another provocation that barely made the news. And this is after Zelensky, in front of the UN, said that, hey, the Russians are going to target our nuclear power plants. Oh, we deserve everything we have coming to us, my friends. Everything. The Iranians are moving their oil supertankers. They vacated the country's largest oil terminal. The Persian Gulf is trying to neutralize themselves by saying, hey, hey, Iran, we got no beef with you, right? But I think, I don't know. You know, knowing Iran, they show a lot of restraint, believe it or not. I know some people don't want to hear that, but they have. They do show a lot of restraint, so maybe they'll fall for it, and then they'll just end up getting beat on by the planes that are flying in from the Gulf states, because the Persian Gulf, I mean, I don't think it's going to be that hard to... I think what Iran is going to have to do is take out any U.S. warship in the Persian Gulf if they want to have their infrastructure survive. Because isn't there like a aircraft carrier group there right now and some amphibious ready groups? I'm quite certain that there is. So shit's going to fly. Now, the Russians are getting ready to give the Houthis advanced anti-ship missiles, which then could effectively be used by the Houthis to target U.S. warships in the region, but I'm sure they're all out of range, and I'm not sure they could give the Iranians anything they didn't already have, but who knows, man? Who knows? So, you know, I think we're going to leave it there for tonight, guys. If you want to capitalize on the deal while things are still in stock, we're about to... There was a bit of a glut in product, but that is quickly drying up now, because... Like I say, all the normalcy Normans stormed into the stores, bought everything up, and so now we're entering a period of scarcity because a lot of places have shut down, right? Because of this recessionary pressure and this glut of supply that is built up, which is still not deflationary somehow. It's only disinflationary because the currency is so watered down. But nonetheless, it's going to get... It's next few days. That's from the horse's mouth. So prepare. They're taking us to war once again. And I'm worried for my kids, honestly. I'm seriously worried that, you know, because they're still very young right now, but if this shit gets out of control in the next 10 years, they're going to be drafting people. So I have a sneaking suspicion that when people in the West over here wake up to the realities that the war is no longer something that we view as a vicarious form of, I don't know what you'd call it, weird entertainment, when they realize that it's affecting all of us and that we have to actually have some skin in the game, then I think that's when you're going to start seeing protests in the streets. But unfortunately, it'll be too little, too late, because we'll already be in martial law and they'll already be doing the same sneaky stuff that they're doing over there. They're going to do it here. Thanks for watching, guys. Take care. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe if you enjoy the video. Share it with your family and friends. Maybe don't do that. I know I'm, you know, I'm a lot of people's dirty little secret. I know you guys watch the channel. You, I know there's a lot of influential people who watch this channel. It's all right. I won't tell anybody, okay? All right. See you later, guys.